Normalcy has now returned to Myanmar. These were the words used by Burmese Foreign Minister U Nguyen Win in his speech on Monday to the UN General Assembly. But according to Kin Mon Win, deputy chief editor of the independent media center Democratic Voice of Burma, based in Norway, the quiet seems to be on the surface only and misleading.
Currently, the troops are patrolling Rangoon, and then we see more troops than people on the street. So it means, for the time being, the troops can control the demonstration. But it doesn't mean they will be able to control forever.
Only last week, the world watched in awe as a growing number of peaceful demonstrators took to the streets in Rangoon and other major cities. This time, Burma's revered monks took a leading role in the protest. At first, the world could not agree on the color of their robes, cinnamon, orange, maroon. At last, it settled on saffron. But the civilized world was united in their support and admiration for the monks' courage and determination. The United States led the way when President Bush, in his address to the UN General Assembly on September 25th, said,
"Americans are outraged by the situation in Burma, where a military junta has imposed a 19-year reign of fear."
The United Nations Security Council, the European Union, and most astonishingly, the ASEAN countries, followed with words of indignation and outrage. Unfortunately, the long-anticipated meeting between Burma's military ruler, General Than Shwe, and UN Special Envoy, Ibrahim Gambari, has not produced much in the way of results. Still, Tan Luen Ton, chief of VOA's Burmese service, expressed the gratitude of the Burmese people.
Burma received tremendous amount of international attention this time. Of course, straight away, United States government, President Bush, imposed tougher sanction and also called for the UN Security Council meetings on Burma. But still, there has been some resistance on China and Russia, the key players on Burma issue.
Most analysts agree that China plays a crucial role in resolving the crisis in Burma. David Aikman, contributor to the American Spectator and a longtime observer of the Asian political scene, explains China's difficult position.
China has to tread a delicate line here. If it fails to make note at all of the brutality of the crackdown by the Burmese government, it risks being seen by the international community as really very cynical and even brutal. But on the other hand, China cannot afford to be seen to be undermining support of the regime, because then people will start asking questions about China's own past. After all, the Chinese crackdown at Tiananmen Square took place a year after the Burmese government crackdown on protests that resulted in about 3,000 deaths in 1988.
For now, unconfirmed reports indicate that as many as 200 protesters might have been killed in last week's crackdown. About 4,000 monks have been rounded up, many detained or missing. Bertel Lintner is a former correspondent for the Far Eastern Economic Review and author of Outrage, Burma's Struggle for Democracy. He says the struggle for freedom in Burma is not over.
Well, I don't think it is ended. The anger is still there. And I think the gap between the military and the population at large is wider than ever after this concerted attack on the Buddhist monks in Burma, I mean, the pillar of the morality in the country. I mean, you cannot just do that and get away with it. And if you go back to Burma's history, I mean, the whole Burmese nationalist movement began in the 1920s when the British soldiers and troops walked into the monasteries with the shoes on or the boots on. And that really ignited the movement. And the same thing is happening now. History is repeating itself. The soldiers in Rangoon have also been walking into the monasteries with their boots on. The symbolism is very strong. And as the 1920s boot issue or the shoe issue in Burma was actually the beginning of the end, it seemed like the beginning of the end of British rule in Burma. So I think what we're seeing now is also the beginning of the end.
This program was written by Anna Zalewski. For International Press Club, I'm Carol Castiel.